Also joining me in the studio is Rachel from the WRVS. Try saying that when you've had a few drinks. sorry. So hello and welcome.
Morning, Tamsin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well.
Good.
Very well.
And you've brought your two lovely daughters who are sitting there. They're all like,
you're on the radio.
Well, it's hello if you aren't.
It's Erin, who's 11, and it's Niamh, who's 7. I've told them to keep quiet, but go on, say hello, girls.
Hello.
there's worse ways to spend your half term, I have to say. You know, you could be like at home doing nothing. So, for those people out there who, I did do a bit of research. It says the WRVS was founded in 1938 by Stella Isaacs, who was the Marchioness of Reading. Is that right?
The Lady of Reading, yes. Well, actually, in 1938, on the onset of the Second World War, and knowing that war was happening and pending, there was lots of services that were going to be needed, obviously due to possible bombing, which we know happened, and also, you know, people being evacuated. So Lady Reading set out in 1938 and went up and down the country and had about 165,000 volunteers in onset of war. And then by the next year, 1939, she'd recruited approximately 300,000 ladies. And that's massive going, really. Just basically to help out with the onset of war and obviously recruiting people, and obviously people need shelter, accommodation, housing. And one of the main things that anyone's probably remember is the evacuation of children. Thousands and thousands of children evacuated from London and all the cities, and doing all the billeting. And if you speak to anyone today, I can guarantee you there'll be people out there who have had experience of the WVS, is what it was known. It's a Women's Royal Voluntary Service now. And they would have had some auntie, some mother, somebody who had had some links somewhere along the way to do with the WRVS.
So really, women were fighting the power.
Yes.
While the men were away doing their thing.
Exactly.
We were fighting the power at home. I'm all for that. And so 75 years on, it's still going strong.
It is. They celebrate their 75th anniversary in 2013. This is next year.
Right.
So it's still going on. It's still going on strong. And a lot of people say, oh, can men volunteer? Can men take part? Well, of course, obviously, it was the Women's Royal or Women's Voluntary Service back then because of the Second World War. Men went to war. Men were used, had to go out and go to war. And obviously, the women were around to be the backbone of society then.
Yeah.
But obviously, things have changed over the years greatly. And obviously, you know,
you can't alienate them.
Oh, not at all. It's nice. We do have lots of great volunteers throughout sort of like England and Scotland, Ireland and Wales, and especially here in good old Northumberland, we have lots of male volunteers and always looking for more.
So what exactly, so for people out there who aren't very aware, what exactly do you do in the WVS? Is it...
Right, well, I'm service coordinator for one of our projects, which is called Get About Northumberland. Now, Get About Northumberland is funded by Northumberland County Council, but we implement the service, we deliver the service, and we drive the service on and develop the service. And what it is about, it's about a community transport scheme, which we have, which is done through the aid of volunteering. Get About Northumberland is a voluntary car scheme, which is an organised form of lift giving, where we use our volunteer drivers use their own vehicles to provide door-to-door journeys for people who are unable to use either their own private transport or conventional public transport. And it's for people who are either rurally isolated, who are getting on in life, and obviously, as you know, and like the big society with the ageing population now, and it's to make people feel as though they can still be part of the community. And obviously, buses are being cut across Northumberland. We're the largest county, I think, the largest county in Great Britain, and we are quite rural as well.
Yeah. So do people have to pay for this service?
Yeah, well, we ask people to become members, and it's £6 a year to become a member. And that's for, obviously, insurance reasons and to cover small admin costs. We're a charity. We don't make any money out of this. But we also charge out. And the good thing about it is our volunteers get reimbursed. So we charge out 50 pence per mile from the volunteers' home to per mile. And our volunteers get reimbursed 45 pence of that. So at the same time, it's, you know, rather than people just giving up their time, which they're quite happy to do. They also get out-of-pocket expenses as well. Mm-hmm. We have over 200 clients use our service in Northumberland, and they age from 36, I think, is our youngest client, to we've got people who are 100 who use our service. And we have approximately 60 volunteers. And one of the reasons why I'm here today is obviously it's a local service we have throughout Northumberland, covering from Berwick, Crosstown, to down to Prudhoe and Corbridge. Mm-hmm. It's from Blyth, South, all over Northumberland. And it's becoming extremely popular, and it's growing all the time. And we do need volunteers. And we do ask people if anyone's got any spare time, if anyone has got obviously a driving licence, full insurance, and they're happy to give a little bit of their time to help put back into the community and to help people to get out and about.
So what kind of destinations do these people want to go to? Because it sounds like a dream taxi service, you know? I was in a taxi the other night, and it was like, £15. I was like, what? That's crazy. I mean, you know, but so it seems like a very good sort of taxi service that takes people to wherever they want to go. What kind of destinations?
Well, actually, it is a taxi service, but we don't like to call it that. It's more than that. It's above and beyond that. We go that extra mile, as you know.
Yeah. And it's just like you're travelling with a friend almost.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly. Because what you find is, you know, it's there for people. We do have a small criteria. So if it's anyone, if you're an older person or consider yourself to have a disability or cannot afford other transport options, or you live in really isolated areas, or even, you know, you're a young family, really isolated, and you can't manage that public transport. But, you know, people go on various different journeys, like medical appointments. You know, if someone's up in Berwick and they've got to get down to the Wansbeck Hospital, you know, you don't want to be jumping on a bus at 95.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
And to take a taxi, you know, taxis are becoming expensive.
Yeah.
But apart from that, you know, people want that sort of like social aspect. You know, we just had a gentleman go, one of our volunteers actually went with him to the hospital, the RVI, the other day, because he just needed some help and support. His wife's in his 90s as well, and they just wanted some help and support and a companionship. We have people who want to go to the cinema, we have people who want to go to the hairdressers, who need help with shopping. Even if you can't get out and about and you need help with shopping, our volunteers are happy to go shopping for them. And obviously there'd be a charge for the mileage there. But obviously, you know, it's visiting social centres, social clubs, lunch clubs, churches, anything that helps people still get out and about, or they wanted to still be socially included. And obviously not all buses go everywhere, and people, you know, nowadays are frightened to go into various people's cars. All our volunteers are CRB checked. All their cars are roadworthy. You have insurance, they have tax. We do some small, a little bit of training with our volunteers, and then people feel safe that they're with someone that we've actually vetted and we know and we use,
and that they can trust.
They can trust. We're a charity that's, like I said, over 75 years old now. It's been going for a long time, and you know, the brand is a very well-known brand, and WRVS is well known, and people trust it, and it's something that we continue to grow on.
So do people carpool a lot, you know? So if one person, say, going to the RVI and someone else is going to, you know, another hospital, would they sort of carpool in the same? Could you do that kind of thing?
People can share journeys, but they have to be members. And that does happen sometimes, because you have a couple of ladies, or gentlemen or lady, who live near to each other, and they wanted to go, for example, from Felton to Alnwick or something like that. Yes, because that's possible. But they have to be members of the scheme to do that.
So if you wanted to become a volunteer, what criteria do you have to have?
Well,
apart from obviously a car and be trustworthy with a CRB check, because they're always they can be a bit of a hassle at times.
They can. I mean, you know, if anyone's got any spare time out there, anyone's interested in doing any voluntary work and wants to put something back into the community, they have a driver's licence, they've got insurance, and basically just anyone who's got some spare time, doesn't necessarily have to be, you don't have to be retired to do that. You might get some young people who want to do some voluntary work to help with their education and move on. Also some people who have a spare few hours, like, you know, family, and want to do stuff around that. Anybody really who's interested in Get About or anything that WRVS have to offer, we're more than happy to chat to you, and if it fits into your lifestyle and what you'd like to do, then there's your answer, really.
So, what's your main role at the WRVS?
Well, I look after the development of the service and expanding the service. I also have a colleague, Catherine, and she does all the journey bookings. But obviously, when either of us are off or holidays, etc., we take over those roles. Mm-hmm. But how the system works is, if anyone's interested in becoming a client, I can leave telephone numbers mm-hmm. and stuff here today and speak about that. They get in touch with us. I usually do a home visit. Mm-hmm. People don't have to have a home visit, but it's nice to chat to people to see what their needs are and how they want the service to work for them. And then they register with us. And then basically it's whenever they feel they need to go out or they need a journey, mm-hmm. they phone us up. We arrange that for them and we try and get a volunteer to near as them as possible.
Yeah.
And there we go. That's
so
the journey.
So the people who want to, say, go to the hospital or if they want to go to the cinema, I mean, you know, can they be choosy and say, well, I'd prefer to go with it? Like if it was an elderly lady yeah. and she wanted to go with a woman, would you kind of take that on board?
Of course, yeah, because, you know, most of our clients don't really, are just grateful that there's someone out there to help mm-hmm. them. But if, you know, we speak to our clients, because some of our clients have sort of like particular needs, they have to have a wheelchair or some of them do prefer a gentleman or a lady, but that's always taken into consideration. That would always be offered first. Mm-hmm. So their wishes would be obviously looked upon and taken into consideration. But obviously, you know, we can't always guarantee a particular volunteer because, you know, volunteers have their own lives and do bits and pieces as well. Mm-hmm. I'd just like to say that no money changes hands on the journey. Yeah. So you haven't got to worry about that because our clients get invoiced on a monthly basis. So if someone went out on two journeys, they'd get invoiced at the end of that month. Mm-hmm. So there's no worry about having to scrabble around for money or go to the bank. Mm-hmm. And then from a volunteer's point of view, there's no worry about taking money and saying that they've taken money and they haven't, so mm-hmm. that's quite a good aspect as well.
I think it sounds like a brilliant scheme, and is it effective in this area? I mean,
yes, it is. I mean, it's growing all the time. Like I said, we've got over, you know, it's been going for about 18 months, 2 years now, and it's mm-hmm. growing all the time. We get referrals from sort of the healthcare professionals and nurses and community matrons and that, and social services mm-hmm. who work with people, people who work for the Blind Association. You know, the word is getting out there, and you know, a lot of people don't realize we are there, but it's growing all the time. And mm-hmm. and again, you know, we're trying to go around to local parishes, and for example, you know, the buses being stopped, I think there's buses being cut now in the Swalwell area, Felton yeah. area, and obviously getting in touch with parish councils to say how can we help you, and obviously at the same time is we need volunteers in these particular areas to actually help the community as well.
So if you want to get involved, or mm-hmm. if I wanted to get involved, if anybody out there wanted to get involved, what is the best way to do so? How do we contact you?
Right, well, we actually don't personally get about, doesn't personally have a website. However, we do have a presence, obviously because we are funded by Northumberland County Council. If yeah. you went onto their website and search for voluntary organisations and driving, etc., mm-hmm. you could one route there. Another route is visiting www.wrvs.org.uk. That is our charity website.
Yeah.
You'll find information on there and telephone numbers. So if anyone was interested in doing any voluntary work within the North East or Northumberland area, you can speak to them and they'll get directed straight to us. Alternatively, we have a 0845 number, which is 0845 266 8906, which is that is the Get About Community Transport number. Mm-hmm. I can leave some information here in leaflets at Lionheart.
Yes, we'll put it on the website. So if you are interested, go and check that later on today. And is there anything else you would like to add?
Oh, well, I mean, we do a lot of things in the area as well, but a couple of things I just want to sort of like let the sort of people of the area know. We have some social centres which are happening. We've got one down at Stocksfield, which is now opened. It's between 10 and 3. I think that's on a Tuesday, and I think it's about £5, and they have a cooked meal there if you wish. Mm-hmm. We've got Rothbury coming up to this area. We've got the Rothbury Social Centre opening, launching, going live on the 13th of March, and that's based at the Community Hospital in Rothbury. And then we have one in Wooler, which is going live hopefully in July, which is based at the Cheviot Centre. So, you know, we're always looking for sort of like opening services. And if there's anyone out there today who's listening and thinking, well, actually, I could do with some community services in our area, please get in touch with us, because that's how we can develop things. You know, we know what's needed out there, but at the same time is there might be some rurally isolated villages and people who are in areas who actually think, well, actually, we could do with this. So that's how we learn and develop and move on.
So there's just so much going on.
It's
like revolutionary WI. Is that what it's like?
Yeah, I suppose it is, in a way. It is. I mean,
because the image coming to mind is that, you know, that famous image there during the war of that lady who's just got her sort of sleeve rolled up and she's like pulling her, she's doing her arm, and she's, you know, it sounds just brilliant. And I think it's important to do things like this, because there's a lot of people who obviously need to get about. And if the government are obviously cutting, you know, bus routes and things, it's just unfair.
They are. Local government is obviously, you know, always looking to look at transport, and transport is a key around to most things nowadays. Mm-hmm. But we are an ageing population, and I think, you know, statistics say in the next sort of like 10, 15, 20 years, there is more older people than there is younger people.
Mm-hmm.
And we are an ageing population. I mean, you know, I deal with sort of like lots of age groups, but you know, it's great to talk to some elderly people, because they've got great heritage.
Mm-hmm.
They know a lot, but they're still with it. I mean, one of our clients, I just went to visit him the other day, and he's 97. He's got the top of a range Apple computer.
Excellent.
And he Skypes his son in America every day. And these people still want to be included,
yeah.
You know, and what they don't want to do is be a burden to their family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they're happy for them to help out. But with Getabout, it gives them that option of still getting out and about.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them that option of that independence. It's still making them feel socially included.
Yeah.
So they can go and still learn and do things and visit friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming even popular. And we couldn't run this if we didn't have our volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if anyone's interested in doing any volunteering for us,
mm-hmm.
We'd love to hear from you. If you're unsure, you know, there's no commitment. We don't ask much. You don't have to work 9 to 5, 5 days a week, as and when.
Yeah.
Like it always has been when it first started.
Just spares. I know you sent me, where is all my stuff going? It's here. I printed this all off, and you sent me some information that speeches, the Yorkshire Evening Post transcript from the November 24th, 1938, and another one that was extracts from the speeches of Lady Reading. And yeah, it should just talk about just any spare time. Do you get a lot of younger people? What's the main sort of demographic that you get volunteering?
Well, it's mainly, we're looking, you know, most people we have are sort of like coming up to retirement age,
yeah.
Or now going into retirement or have retired.
But you want to get younger people involved as well?
I think generally it's people who have spare time. We do have ladies who, you know, who husbands are, who work, and they have spare time on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And who want to get involved. Even there's younger people now in the colleges who,
yeah,
want to go into the healthcare profession or any profession, and realize that all the application forms for university now, you have to have some form of volunteering on them.
Yeah.
And we're quite happy to speak to those as well. And they're quite grateful just to get some volunteering work under their belt, which will help them move on,
mm-hmm.
especially in the field of education and work experience, because it's all about getting that valuable experience, life experience, which,
mm-hmm.
you don't always get that when you're at college.
Yeah.
And that's looked on favourably for employers nowadays, and also, you know, going on courses to do degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't like to pinpoint and say there is one particular demographic. We like,
yeah,
to think that anyone who's out there who wants to put back in the community, who's looking to, you know, do some voluntary work and,
mm-hmm.
also get some expenses back. And I think that's really important, because we really value our volunteers,
mm-hmm.
you know, not taking people for granted. And I think that's moved on with a lot of charities now, reimburse their volunteers. We're not the only one who does that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's good that, you know, our volunteers do get something back, apart from putting stuff into the community, but also for financial aspect as well.
So will you be getting your two little girls involved one day?
Well,
will you be joining?
I'm sure they will. I'm sure. I mean, this is good sort of like work ethic for them anyway. I think they're pleased to come here today and see what's going on.
So. Do voluntary work. It's great. No, it is. It's really good, because you do meet lots of different people from all walks of life.
You do, yeah.
And it is a very good scheme indeed, because, you know, people need to, especially elderly people, you know, they need to kind of still be included. And I think a lot of the time people in this country, you know, and I'm sort of generalising people, but I can say just all people, you know, they forget about elderly people. And
well, yeah, they do. I think it wasn't until I started to work for the WRVS that it actually dawned on me what it was like to grow old.
Yeah.
Because we all sort of like go around in our bubble of our age, don't we? And, mm-hmm. you know, not realising what it's like to grow old. And I think also we need to capture what has happened in the past, because people who were involved in the Second World War, and I was just speaking to a lady the other day in Ponteland who actually lived opposite Tower Bridge in London, and the WVS actually evacuated her.
Mm-hmm.
And for people to actually give their memoirs and talk about history. And, you know, when you're young, you think, oh, why do I want to know that? But it's not until sort of like you get a little bit older in life, not necessarily old, but,
yeah.
you know, into your 40s and that, and you're thinking, well, actually, I wish I did listen to my grandmother, and I wish I did listen to my grandfather, because actually it's history and it's heritage, and it's quite nice to understand that. So,
well, exactly. I mean, I love listening to older people talk about things. I actually do the production for a man called Neville Wanless. I don't know if you remember him. He was a TV announcer on ITV, and he tells me stories all the time of, you know, his time in the media and stuff,
yeah.
and just his life in general. And we were talking the other day about how the world would be a better place if we all drank from martini glasses.
Well, so. I probably quite agree to that. I mean, we could probably learn a lot from our aging population. It's just things are so fast nowadays, you know.
Yeah.
And it's also helping our older generation get up to speed with new things like computers, the digital switchover.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that, you know, going
in. Getting them on board with the iPods
exactly.
and their iPads.
Exactly. I mean, when you go into doctors now, sometimes you just don't check in with the receptionist. It's all touchscreen computers.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's helping the younger getting the younger generation to help the older generation. It's got both, works both ways, really. So
I wish somebody would help me sometimes, because sometimes I'm very technology, like, alien. All my friends are, like, web developers, and they talk about all these crazy things. I'm like, I don't understand. But it's my own ignorance, I suppose. Well, thank you very much for
You're
coming
welcome.
In. Give yourself a little round of applause. Go on, girls. Give your mum a round of applause. Excellent.
Thanks for
Thank you
letting
very
me come
much.
In.